Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sidney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
Pastor Fred delivered an awesome message on joy last week. If you haven't seen it, I really encourage you to check it out, because he talked about having a joy in Christ that nothing can take away. That isn't based on, you know, the relationships or the people around us or the circumstances we go through, but is strictly based upon our relationship with Christ. Today, in a similar manner, I'm going to be talking to you about peace. Because in a similar way, this peace that we have from God, that only comes from Him, is something that we can hold on to and retain no matter what we go through. And I think a passage that would really be good to check out so we can kind of set the groundwork and define peace would be our foundational verse of Galatians 5, 22 through 23. And so as you're preparing to turn there and getting your Bibles ready, I'd encourage you to go ahead and stand up, and we're going to say the vision together. To build a people who are established in God's word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Well, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to grow in the agape love, Lord. Lord, we need developed in this area, and we know, God, that if we don't receive development in this area, we're going to be lacking in every word that's mentioned here, Lord. God, we want to be able to grow in our peace, not just because our circumstances are this way or that way, but because we are trusting upon you. So, Lord, help us to be people who are endeavoring to grow, endeavoring to do what it takes to come to you, Lord, to sit at your feet and to be able to come into the plan and the purposes you're calling us into, God. We thank you for this, and we all pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So once again, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. Peace is mentioned here as a fruit of the Spirit and is developed by agape love. Remember, agape is God's unconditional supernatural love, the God kind of love. Every word that follows after that is something that is directly impacted by agape. So if you're not growing in the agape love of God, then you're also not going to be growing in joy. You're also not going to be growing in peace. You're not going to be growing on any of those words that follow. And I think it's important that we define peace here and kind of set the groundwork for this because, well, I think really there's quite a different opinion on what peace is depending on who you ask, right? So this word for peace in the Greek in this passage is irone, okay? And no, I'm not saying irony, irone, okay? And it's defined as this. It means prosperity. It means to be set at one again. It means quietness. It means rest. I already very much love this word, especially when it talks about rest, because I think we live in sort of a hamster wheel society that's kind of running constantly, and you're constantly busy, and you even feel a little bit ashamed when you're not extremely busy because you feel like you must be wasting your time or something. But hey, we need rest, don't we? And the kind of rest we need isn't just going to come through sleep. And sleep's important, and it's good, but we need more than that. We need to be set at one again, is what this word says. I mean, that calls to mind this idea that, you know, sometimes we feel like we're being stretched in a thousand different directions, don't we? The demands of our job, the demands of our family, the demands of, you know, finances and what that might entail and trying to make ends meet. And next thing you know, when you think about all the things vying for your attention, you kind of feel scattered. You feel disorganized, messy. But the Bible In this word peace, Jesus is calling us to the development of the agape love of God to be set at one again. Instead of being in 1,000 places at once, or at least feeling like you are, you can be set at one again. How many of you want to feel at one again? Just a couple of you. Sweet. All right. We want to be set at one because, I don't know about you, I hate being stretched thin. I hate feeling like I am just completely stretched to the point where I'm ineffective and lacking all sense of peace. This is also, though, an important part of this definition. It's peace of mind, tranquility, arising from reconciliation with God. It only comes through having a reconciled relationship with God. How do we have that? We know that it's through Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. The only way we can have a relationship with God the Father is through his Son, Jesus Christ. So reconciliation and having a relationship with God through Jesus is necessary to be able to tap into irane peace. And we see also that it means a sense of divine favor. You have this awareness that God's favor is upon you. In seasons where I'm spending time with God and trusting in God and really abiding in his presence, accompanied with that is a sense of divine favor that I know God is in my life. I know he's involved. I know his hand is there, his hand of blessing. And I know he's watching over me. When you don't feel that, or when you're not connected to that, peace is going to go out the window. Especially when we're talking about irane peace, a peace that comes from understanding that, hey, God is for you, not against you, that God loves you, that he longs for you, and he has demonstrated that through his son, Jesus, through his death on the cross. We see further delineation between these different kinds of peace when we look at John 14, verses 25 through 27. He says, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Now listen, he says something very important about peace. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus is making it clear there are two different kinds of peace that you're going to be offered. One of those is simply the world trying to offer you peace. He says he doesn't give peace to you as the world gives to you. The world gives to you, it tries to sell it to you, wrapped up in a package saying, hey, it's your circumstances. If you just had more stuff, you'd be happy. If you just made more money, you'd be happy. You'd be at peace. You'd feel secure. If you just had more friends and were considered more socially acceptable or more socially attractive, you would be at peace. And it constantly is bombarding you with advertisements and messages that say, you don't have peace unless you have this. I don't know how many small payments of $19.99 I'd have to make to have peace. I don't know. There would be so many that I would be bankrupt, right? I wouldn't be able to afford peace, the kind of peace the world is trying to give. And that's fine because I don't want that kind of peace because that kind of peace is fickle and superficial, artificial, and isn't going to actually affect you at all for the goodness of God and the kingdom of God. I want the kind of peace Jesus is offering. The irane peace of God. We so often say agape peace, or agape love. We put those two words together all the time, and that's good. I want us to be just as aware of irane peace as we are with agape love, because we need to know that we can live in that kind of peace. We can abide there. That we don't have to be anxious people all the time, just fretting and feeling so distraught. We don't have to live the way the world lives. The world that says you never have enough. You need more, you need more, you need more. We just need Jesus. And in Jesus, I mean, think about it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not long for all of these other things that try to satisfy. I have Jesus. Knowing that my relationship with God is healthy because of him. Knowing that I have everything that I need in God because God owns everything. I don't have to own everything to be at peace. My God owns everything and I follow him. So like, guess what? By extension, everything that I need, God has. Everything. So the point is this, the fruit of the Spirit, they all stem from agape, okay, from that love. Therefore, if we're not growing in agape, like I said, we're not going to grow in anything that's listed afterwards, including irane, peace. And since this type of peace is based upon the unconditional love of God, it follows that you can retain it unconditionally, that you can have that kind of peace unconditionally. That is, there is no condition that has to take away that peace. It's like we assume that, okay, if I go through something really, really hard, then I have an excuse to give up the irane peace of God. Like, no, like you don't have to give up your peace. That's how, it's really, the more you mature in your faith, the more you start to realize when something takes your peace, when you allow something to take your peace, that's a red flag and should draw your attention to an area where there needs to be development and maturity. So here's the thing. It's not based on feelings. But we've been deceived into thinking it is, that feelings are what constitutes peace. Now, do emotions play a role in it? I believe so. Yeah, God made emotion, right? Sometimes we talk about emotion like they're like evil or something. They're not evil. It's just when they get out of control and we idolize emotion, that's when we get into trouble. But when we understand that peace comes through your relationship with God through Jesus, and you trust in that and step out upon that in faith, then the emotions can come. The feelings can follow. The actual rest can be enjoyed. The quietness of spirit, even when things are very loud around you, you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are secure in Him. It's not based on feelings we conjure up while our conditions seem pleasant. It's based on the fact that Jesus made peace for us. He made it. So check it out. I mean, it's the difference between a peacemaker and a peacekeeper. Peacekeeper being somebody who wants to just keep the status quo, and whatever level of peace might be there in that moment, they don't want it to do anything that might jeopardize feelings of peace when those circumstances might get shaken up. So what do? They never confront. They never, speak up. They always just kind of, keep this sort of idea that if they just keep to themselves and don't mess up anything, then they can just keep. That's empty. We need peace makers out there, people who are willing to do something in order to make more peace. And that peace, the peace that we make as believers, as peacemakers, we want to be people who base that peace off of Jesus' perfect work on the cross. You're not going to be able to make peace any other way meaningfully outside of being able to share the gospel with those in a dark, dark world that need that light. Here's a verse that really sums up how the fact that Jesus made this peace for us. It's Colossians 1, 19 through 20. He says, "For it pleased the Father that in him, Jesus, all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross." He made peace through the blood that was shed for us on the cross. The kind of peace that we long for, the irane peace of God, can only be obtained and is only accessible to us because of Jesus' death on the cross. The blood is so, so, so important. It isn't just this, side thing. It's really the central theme here, the central idea. Jesus didn't just come and do awesome things and say awesome things. He also gave his life for us. His blood was shed for us, that all the sins you and I have ever committed, are committing, or ever will commit, all of that was put on Jesus' body on the cross. It says that he who knew no sin became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. All of our sin, all of the wrath of God against sin was taken out on Jesus' body on the cross. If that sounds mysterious to you, like how did Jesus become sin? I'm going to humbly submit to you, I do not know. I don't know. It's a mystery, and it's a great mystery, but it is true. if I could only believe in the things of God that amounted to my ability to understand them, that I would have a very weak and puny God that looks a lot like me. We need to believe the things of God and trust in what God tells us. And some of those things are going to be so great, it's going to be beyond your understanding. And guess what? Peace goes beyond your understanding too. We're going to learn about that a little bit more. But here's the point. Somehow, some way, Jesus became our sin on the cross, and the wrath of God was taken out on sin, and now it's been dealt with. God isn't looking to try and punish us and squish us for our sin. No, he longs to have a relationship with us, and Jesus is the one who shows us what the Father is like, and he's beckoning us to come away and find out what true peace really is. It pleased the Father that in Jesus all the fullness should dwell. He made peace. He made peace through the blood of his cross. So the irone, peace of God, is a God-made peace. Supernatural peace that's based on the fact that as a child of God, you've been made right with God by believing upon Jesus, whose blood was shed for you on the cross. So peace is readily available for us, isn't it? It's constantly there. The hand of God is extended to us saying, you can partake in and have my peace. But the question is then, why is it so many believers and unbelievers alike, why is it that we reject or refuse that peace? Why is it that we are not in peace? I mean, think about it. I mean, you could ask, you could take a poll and see how many Christians would describe their life as being full of peace, tranquility, quietness, rest. I talk to believers and I get the notion that many of them are just as busy, desperate, and basically, you know, worn thin as most people are in the world, full of anxiety even. Why is that? It ought not to be so when we have access to irone peace as we develop in the agape love. It's available to us, but why is it that we're not entering into it? Well, I think there's a couple different quotes I want to share with you that I think wrap up the situation both for unbelievers and believers quite succinctly. And one of those, as it pertains to unbelievers, is a quote by Jack Wellman. He sums it up this way when he says, No one can have the peace of God until they are at peace with God. It's simple, but it's profound. I'm going to say it again. No one can have the peace of God until they are at peace with God. When you don't have peace with God, the only reason could be because you have not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He has not been accepted as the atonement for your sins. And as a result, your sins are still in the sight of God. I mean, when your sins are forgiven and when you've been washed clean in the blood, when God sees you, he sees the righteousness of his son Jesus. But when that sin is not dealt with and you're not reconciled back to God, it looms over your head like a plague. And the day of judgment is coming and we must give an account. And if Jesus is not the one whose righteousness we're relying upon to be saved, then we're not going to pass the test. And our sin is as red as scarlet. It's blatant. It's flagrant. It's completely something that God has dealt with, but you need to receive it as a gift. He wants to remind us that, hey, it's a free gift of salvation, right? Grace through faith. That, not of yourselves, but a gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast, right? It's not about doing all these good deeds and trying to just make this long list of chores you can do to gain God's favor. It's relying upon Jesus, trusting upon Jesus for salvation. That's what makes peace between you and God. You will never be able to make peace in your relationship with God. You'll never be able to make peace by just doing a bunch of good things. No matter how many mission trips you go on, no matter how many Bible verses you memorize, no matter how much you give to the Jesus Birthday Project, you cannot make peace with God through philanthropic activity or the idea that you can just do all these things to bribe him. He cannot be bribed. The only thing that satisfies that debt is the blood of Christ. That's it. So the reason that unbelievers don't have peace, the irone peace, is because they can't have it. And they can't have it as long as they are in rebellion against God. They do not have peace because they are not at peace with God. Okay, well, that's for unbelievers. What about believers? Why are believers not feeling peace? Well, I think another quote by Dwight L. Moody sums it up nicely when he says, a great many people are trying to make peace. But that has already been done. God has not left it for us to do. All we have to do is to enter into it. Here's what's happening. We are called to be peacemakers, But at the same time, it's only through one avenue, like I said, and that's through the gospel, right? What happens with believers is they become people who aren't feeling the peace of God when they're trying to find a righteousness or a favor from God apart from the work of Jesus on the cross. Like I just told you, some people will try to find it through doing lots of good deeds. Some people will try to find it by just being a really nice, good fellow. It doesn't come through that. And as a result, when we don't trust upon Jesus for the peace that we need, we're going to try to make it somehow, some way, by some other means. It's available to you all the time as a believer, but you refuse to enter in because you're trying to do it your way. Instead of trusting that Jesus is your satisfaction, you will turn to anything else that you can do to try to fabricate some sense of artificial peace, and usually that's wrapped up in our circumstances. A bigger and better home. A job, a dream job that maybe we've wanted. Retirement package. Maybe you think that when you fit the certain body image you've been longing for, the level of physical fitness that you desire, you'll be at peace. Financial security. Having more stuff. Idolizing hobbies. All of these things are things people do to try to feel more peace, but all of those things aren't necessarily wrong things in and of themselves, or wrong goals to have, but when you try to substitute those things for the irane peace of God, you will be left empty and bankrupt. Every time. It will promise satisfaction. It will overpromise and underdeliver every single time. So the reason is that believers, we don't often feel at peace. The reason for it is likely because even though it's available to us through the finished work of Christ on the cross, we don't enter into that peace and instead are trying to fabricate or manufacture a peace apart from Christ. I think about this situation. It makes me laugh so much. It was a comedian who, I don't know when it was, maybe a few years ago, I can't remember, but he had been sent a text by his mom. And his mom was asking him, hey, can you please pray for the so-and-so family down in Florida? There's a hurricane that's coming. And, you know, it's going to probably hit their house. Can you pray that their house wouldn't get destroyed? And he knows that it's like a real ritzy house. He also knows that the house is built on sand on the beach. And he felt kind of like, what do I do, Lord? Do I even pray for this? Because you literally said in your word, don't build your house on the sand. He was literally like faced with like an existential crisis, like a dilemma. Like, do I pray for them? Because like, they literally, it was just like it dawned on him, wow, like they built their house on the sand. Like, and here comes the storm, right? It's like the scripture is coming alive before them. And here's the thing, we are told in the scripture not to do that, right? I mean, the word says, Jesus said, that he who hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken to him as a man who built his house on the rock. The rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house, but it did not fall because it was founded upon the rock. But he who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, I will liken him unto a man who has built his house on the sand. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house, and great was its fall. You see, when we think of the point of life is to try and have the most cushy existence possible and try to, you know, make it so our peace is purely based on circumstances. One day a hurricane's going to come. A storm is coming for all of us. Not just, you know, people over here that, okay, well, you know, people out in California, they can have the storms, right? Or people in Florida, they can have the storms, right? Like earthquakes and all that stuff. We live in Ohio. Our biggest problem is like a rabid raccoon or something. You know, like it's not just where you live geographically, okay? What it's about is this. There are so many kinds of different storms in life. And they're coming. Jesus doesn't tell us where either. He doesn't say in the parable, hey, it's coming from God, or hey, it's coming from the devil. It doesn't matter. The point is, a storm is coming. It's going to shake up your circumstances, and you're going to find out real quick where your peace has been. Because Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And if your heart is in a mansion on the beach in Florida, or your heart is set on a retirement plan that you're really hoping for, or is set on, you know, just having bigger and better and more things, whatever it might be, the storm is coming. And if your peace is trying to be found in material things, those kind of things, those things are going to be shaken. He says that everything in heaven and earth is going to be shaken. Shaken. And those things that are not of eternal value, they're not going to survive the test. And if your peace is founded there and your heart is founded there, where's your heart and your peace going to be? Out the window, along with the destruction of all of those things that you held so dear and put above the importance of having the peace of God. For all of us, the test is coming. And every single one of us, in some way, shape, or form, is tempted to and is likely in some way putting our peace in things that really can't guard it, that are just on circumstances, that are just based on hoping things will go really well. We don't have to hope things are going to go really well when it pertains to Jesus, because if our hope is in him, his work is already finished. Finished. He says, it is finished. It's done. It's perfect. You're a new creation in Christ. You're heaven bound. And no matter what circumstances you go through, you can have the irone peace of God. Jesus reminds us that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich person to enter into the kingdom of God. And we like to pretend we're not rich because we like to compare ourselves with people like Elon Musk or Donald Trump or et cetera, et cetera. And we say, oh, I'm not rich because that's what rich looks like. No, that's what extremely rich looks like. You're rich. You live in one of the richest countries in the entire world, and even just owning a car puts you like in the top 5% of the richest people in the world. Because most people don't. Most human beings don't own a car. You think they do because you're used to America. It's very different in other places. The level of poverty in other places is very different. You are rich. You are rich. Therefore, Jesus and what he said applies to us. It's harder for you and I. Let's just make it personal. It's harder for you and I to enter into the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for you and I to enter into the kingdom of God. It's easier. Like, if we make it personal, it suddenly becomes threatening, doesn't it? It suddenly becomes, wait, no, you don't understand, I'm not Elon Musk. Do you think that was written for that, like, for that, like, situation that makes it, like, so extreme, the amount of riches we're talking about? No, like, this is, like, biblical worldview, okay? Not just your view in America. It's biblical worldview, the whole picture. We are a people who are rich because we put our trust and our satisfaction and hope that we will get peace from having more things, having bigger houses, and trying to build our life so that we can one day retire, have a lot of fun, and then die, as if that were the point of life. And we make this little plan, and we just really, really hope that God will bless it. We pepper Christian language throughout our lives and hope that we look Christian enough, but our real goal is, I just want to be secure in money. You take that away and see what happens. When that storm comes, whatever the storm looks like, it'll put that to the test. Where are you getting your peace from? There is only one place you can get the irone peace of God, and that's through Jesus. And here's the cool thing. You don't have to be rich, monetarily speaking, to have it. You can be poor. You can be rich. You can have a lot. You can have a little. It's offered to all of us. Jesus died for all of us, and he wants to give that peace to us. Are you entering in or not? We strain ourselves and fill ourselves with anxiety by trying to make artificial peace.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul, taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind. live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.